In this year of building our faith and our personal walk with God, I want to remind you of the blessings that come in God's gift of Easter and what they mean specifically for you, and encourage you not to neglect all those things that were blood bought by your Lord and Saviour Jesus. Let me begin with a question. Hopefully, you see me and you can see a screen. Question one: why did Jesus have to die on Good Friday? Let's remind ourselves. He had to die because of the great problem, which is the problem of the world, the broken humanity in the world that the Bible calls sin. And for us, there are consequences because of that fallen world and its sin. The Bible in Romans 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Yeah, death is a consequence. It means life is finite, but it's not just death physically, it is dead spiritually. As a consequence, we are separated from God. There is a gaping gap, a cavernous gap between God and people because of that sin. But because God loves us so much, he chooses to do something about it. And the only way is for sin to be atoned for, to be dealt with. Now, there's nothing we can do about it. We're part of the problem. The Bible reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God is perfection, and none of us gets close. So none of us is good enough to be that perfect sacrifice. But God loves us so much that he gave us his son, who is, as John 3:16 tells us, he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when Jesus came on Good Friday, when he died on that cross, he took upon himself our sin. As 1 Corinthians chapter 5 reminds us, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, for all who accept Jesus, that beautiful gift, our sins washed away, cleansed, which means that we have access instantly to God. You'll remember it was on the cross as Jesus died, the curtain was torn open that symbolized our approach to God. From that moment on, what a gift. Our humanity remains. Of course, we can still be capable of messing up big time. We all do. But when God looks at us, he now sees our sins cleansed. He sees the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wow! That's why he died on a cross. So here's my follow-up question. Why did Jesus have to rise from the grave? If our sin was dealt with, why did he have to rise from the grave? Well, first of all, it confirmed, it validated that he was who he said he was. No religious leader in history has ever prophesied that they were about to die and would be resurrected, and then accomplish that fact. But Jesus did. And so the Roman centurion could testify, truly, this was the Son of God. But it wasn't just for the sake of testimony, there was a direct response for us too. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. He was raised so that all who believe in him would know this life is not the end. We are now justified before God, which brings us hope for eternity. As Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Wow! That's the blessing that also comes to us in Easter. But even that isn't the end. Because before Jesus was ascended back on high, he said, I will be with you always. Matthew 28. How could he be with his people, his church, always if he didn't rise from the dead? So on these Easter Sunday morning, as we go through these words, as we declare these truths, it is my hope. In fact, I'm asking you the question, is your heart lifted by what you've just heard, by the words of Scripture? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you, are you lifted by what you've just heard from what the Bible says? Unmute yourself and tell me if you've
Yes,
picked
praise
up.
the Lord.
Thank you, Janet.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Phenomenal. Awesome. Of course we are. Why are we lifted like this now? And yet, so often we feel down because we've just been reminded of the words of God. And thank you for all of that. As we listen to the words of God, we're lifted. As we pray together at the end of our that worship, a number of you joined in because you want to declare praise. I did the same. It's just that I forgot to unmute myself, so you didn't hear
Same
me
here.
praying.
Same
But
here.
hey, isn't it phenomenal that we can do this? God's word lifts us. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. But here's the thing that I observe, I notice about almost every Christian. We dwell very much and we talk about Jesus in the past and what he'd done, the Jesus who came incarnate. We talk about the future Jesus, the one who's going to come again in victory and take us to be home in his glory. What we often don't do is talk about the Jesus who blesses us today. And I want to talk about that because it's the same Jesus who, as we've just seen, says, I will be with you always. As God said to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Same promise. Isn't it interesting that we accept the blessings of God because of past and future, but we so often forget and live and walk and rejoice and be confident in the blessings of God's people today? So I want to do something about that. After all, can I remind you? It was this Jesus who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, not just in the future. That's Galatians 1:4. I remind you of the verse that God gave to us at the start of the year. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is John 10:10. That's what the enemy would do to you, to steal these truths of the Easter blessing, to kill your hope, to destroy your faith. But Jesus comes that we may have life and have it to the full. Have it now. And it's that fullness that we are embracing. Because, of course, if we are children of God, then we are heirs. And we're not heirs apparent, heirs in the future. We will receive even more of an inheritance on the point where we die or Jesus comes again. But we are heirs and co-heirs now. We are heirs. So we celebrate who Jesus is for us today. So why is it that we struggle so much to embrace Jesus in the today and we get caught up? When the scriptures tell us, Colossians 2:9, that if we have Jesus in us, then well, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity of God Himself lives in bodily form. That's the blessing which is ours. But here's the problem: we don't take up that blessing which is given to us. Let me illustrate that with a couple of things. Here is a chocolate orange, a Terry's chocolate orange, and here are some Benedict's mint chocolate. Other brands are also available. Now, you might say to me, okay, but why on earth are you showing us on these on Easter Sunday morning, Easter and Sunday? Lots of people get chocolates. Yeah. But I didn't get these as gifts today on Easter Sunday. I received these on Christmas Day. I just didn't eat them. Chocolate orange, orange, mint is practically one of your five a day. And I didn't take that blessing of a gift given to me. Instead, I put them on the shelf in my office because we had so much chocolate at the time. And I put them on the shelf and forgot about them until I was doing some cleaning up today and discovered them. That's what we are so often like with the blessings that God pours out to us. So today, I want to remind us of the dangers of losing, of not claiming the inheritance that God wants to pour out to us. And God's people have always done it. So we're going to turn to the Old Testament and turn to Asher. Asher, the tribe of Asher. Do you know the name Asher means blessing or happiness, the joy that comes with the blessing? He was born to Zilpah, who was the maid servant of Leah, the wife of Jacob, who became Israel. Asher was the eighth child of the 12 children of the future Israel and would become one of the 12 tribes. She said, "How happy am I am. The women will call me happy." And so she named her child Asher. Happy. It means that kind of blessing. Blessed are those who, you know, the blessings that come. That's that word, Asher. The tribe of Asher itself was therefore immensely blessed. Let me tell you about the two prophetic blessings given to them. First of all, in Genesis 49, when the father Jacob was about to die, he gathered all his sons together and he went through each one of them and blessed them with a specific prophecy. This is what he said concerning Asher. Asher's food will be rich. Food or bread. We can often see that interpreted in scripture as land. Asher's food or bread will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. I'll come back to that. And then a little bit later, Moses, as he was about to die, he was about to hand over the reins to Joshua, And so in Deuteronomy 33, he did the same thing. He got all the leaders of Israel together and he poured out blessings on each of the tribes. And when he came to Asher, this is what he says. Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers. Let him bathe his feet in oil. That speaks of prosperity, of riches again. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. What a pouring down blessing this was. The most blessed of sons. Let him bathe his feet in oil, not just a little anointing, but a profusion of blessing. And the bolts of the gates, it speaks of strength. It speaks of being protected. Your strength will equal your days. His strength would last the whole of his life, in other words. Wow. What an incredible range of blessings on Asher. But do you realize that all those blessings, all those prophecies apply to you as well? Because the Bible says that all the prophecies of God are yes and amen in Jesus. That's the King James Version. The NIV puts it like this: for no matter how many promises of God has made, they are yes in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Every one of the blessings, the promises that have been made in Jesus, who at that time hadn't come as Messiah, have now come upon his people through him coming and giving himself on the cross, becoming the Messiah who offered himself. These are the blessings of Easter that come to us too. If you are born again, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, all of us who can call ourselves sons of God, that's why I'm now looking back at Asher and the blessings poured out on him, but to learn the lessons of how they responded. So, to see what this meant for him, let's go to the very next book of our Bibles, to the book of Joshua and the reading that Jackie brought. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites." He's talking about the promised land. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Everywhere they put their foot down, God would give to them. Do you know that same promise is true for you? Everywhere we go, the promise is that the victory of Jesus comes with us. So why do we live in such fear sometimes when we approach difficult situations? And this passage goes on to speak of having courage. Well, that's what we're going to today. But just look at what happened to Asher. Let's learn from the choices he made. I'm going to move on 18 chapters. And Joshua gathers the people around himself again, the whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The country was brought under their control, but there were still seven Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. 12 tribes had crossed into the promised land, and some of them had embraced the challenges and removed the enemies of God and those things which were destructive, the child sacrifices, and so on. But there were still seven tribes that hadn't taken up their inheritance. Just listen to what Joshua says next. Verse 3. So Joshua said to the Israelites, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, your God of your ancestors, has given you? How long will you wait?" That was the NIV. The ESV, the English Standard Version of the Bible, says this: "How long will you put off going in?" The King James Version says, "How long will you be slack?" That means lazy. Another version says, "How long will you draw back in idleness?" Another says, "How long will you neglect?" Do you know that's exactly what I did with these gifts given to me at Christmas? It's not even taken them out of the wrapper. That's what Asher did, one of those seven tribes, and it's what we so often do. Can I show you where they were in the land that was promised to them? This is Asher. If I just move my mouse around on the keyboard, you see right at the very north, at the top of the map, this bit underneath Sidon and Tyre, these two major cities, on the coast of the Mediterranean is Asher. That's the land allotted to them. It was a land that was rich, full of delicacies. Let me tell you something about it. Just keep that picture in your mind. Remember, this is what Joshua has said, that every step would be theirs. This is chapter 18, and they'd not taken it. Go to the next chapter. And in it, he goes through what each of the tribes should have. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of Asher, according to its clans. I'm not going to go through all the detail of all those names, but just notice these two. As far as Greater Sidon, the huge city of Sidon, up to the fortified city of Tyre, the fortified city. Speaking of strength again. Let me tell you about that. I'm going to put another map back on. There's Sidon at the top and Tyre a little bit further south. Sidon, described as Greater Sidon, gives you some sense of the magnitude and its importance. It was a fishing village. I understand actually that's what the word Sidon means. It's still a fishing village. It became a maritime centre for the fishing industry. And then there is Tyre. Tyre is actually an island, so originally was separated from the land by a huge 700-yard deep cavity. And the sea filled this channel. Tyre was famous for the purple cloths. You'll know that purple dyed cloths were used by royalty. The delicacies fit for a king. And again, it was another fishing port, but it was an impregnable city because it was an island. And Tyre and Sidon were maritime cities in the Phoenician Empire. They had great wealth. People said of Tyre that the buildings were so high, multiple stories made up those buildings, that Rome seemed to dwarf in comparison to its riches. If Asher had only taken the inheritance that God promised, that would have been theirs. These cities that would be a major influence on the world around them, that would become and could have been a huge maritime port and produced wealth, rather like the cities of Liverpool or New York were in the last century. But Asher didn't take the gift, and they lost these areas to their enemies. In fact, Tyre was only conquered hundreds of years later by Alexander the Great, who caused his men to fill in the channel between the island and then besieged the city. That could have been the blessing, but they didn't take it up. By the way, do you remember the blessing that was given specifically to Asher from his father? Asher's food, bread, land will be rich. That's the coastline in this area. He'll provide delicacies fit for a king. Let me tell you a little story about that delicacies fit for a king. Do you know that specific prophecy was fulfilled just once when Jesus visited the area? One time he went outside the normal Jewish area. The area in green on that map was the extent of where the Jews were in this area, in Galilee, for example, and much further south. But the red line indicates the sort of journey Jesus would have made. We don't know much detail. Do you know his whole journey there and journey back? No great events were recorded, nothing significant seems to happen. It's as though he goes for one purpose only, to minister to a Syro-Phoenician woman whose daughter had a severe satanic possession of her soul and pleaded with Jesus. Do you remember it was the incident where she asked for help and Jesus reminded her that he had come just to the lost sheep of Israel. And the woman cried before him and said, "But surely even the dogs deserve the crumbs off the table." That's the incident. And it took place in the land of Asher. The crumbs of the table, surely the dogs would deserve. And Jesus, astounded by her faith, said, "From that moment, your daughter is healed." Even a crumb of bread handed out by a king delivered this woman. And then he went back to the Jewish-controlled area. That was the power of this area. It could have been theirs, but they never entered, they never benefited from it. By the way, can I just update you and bring you literally to events this week? Do you notice the river which is on that map just north of Tyre, between Tyre and Sidon? That's called the Litani River. Let me give you a map of this area today, because Tyre and Sidon are in Lebanon. And you may not realize it, but that dark blue line is the border, the northern boundary of Israel today. This is the area that Israel is bombing, and they made a proclamation weeks ago that everybody south of the Litani River should move north of it, and millions are displaced as a consequence. Still an area of conflicts, and it still doesn't belong to Israel. I'm not going to say any more about that. So, if they've not taken it up, what about us? What were they to take up? "I will give you every place where you set your foot," is what it said at the start of that passage in Joshua 1. If they just had courage, what was it that would secure that for them? That every place where they took their set their foot. Well, look at Joshua, what he was doing. He was told by God, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the left to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go." Verse 8, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." What is it going to take to keep the book of the law? He means by that all the books of Moses. We have, of course, the whole of the Old Testament, and the church has the New Testament as well. The book of the law, the word of God. And what's the call? Meditate on it day and night. And undoubtedly, that's what Joshua was doing. That appears not to be what Asher did. Look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord. Same thing. The law of the Lord, God's word. And again, who meditates on his law day and night. Who meditates on it day and night. What does that person look like? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Not just a tree that finds itself in a desert place, but a tree that has been planted. It suggests God has a part of it. You are a person planted as part of this church. You are the one planted in your family, in your communities, planted by God. But he goes on to say, by streams of water, not a trickle in the desert, not a bit of a pool, not even a stream, but streams, plural. That's the extent of the blessings which are those planted by God. Those who delight and meditate on his law day and night. And therefore, it yields its fruit in season. The fruit, the leaf, doesn't wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's the promise of God's people. It was to the people of Israel, specifically to Asher, and it is the promise that is made to God's people in Christ Jesus. Do we accept it? Let me remind you specifically of the blessing of Asher. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze. God is our source of protection and strength. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus specifically said, I will be with you always. And then that final line, your strength will equal your days. Oh, we may not feel strong physically, but you know what? As I go deeper and deeper into my relationship with God, as I bury myself in God's word and spend more time in it, I become spiritually stronger and stronger. I am far stronger now than I was even 2 years ago. As I get deeper into God's word. Of course, we've just looked at that series on the desert fathers and mothers. Remember that? Can I just remind you, this is just astounding. The desert fathers and mothers, at a time where life expectancy was pathetic compared to today, the people who went to live in a desert, cold, exposed, baking hot in the heat of the day, cold at night, who lived on almost nothing, had so little, they were renowned for their long life expectancy. Moses the Strong was 75. John Cassian, 75, Sincletia, 80. Tell you about some of these people on another occasion. We looked at Macarius last week. Do you know he was 91? And then there's the sort of the father of all of them, Antony the Great, who lived the most austere of lives. Often his diet was water with a bit of salt on a good day. And occasionally, maybe some green herbs. Can you imagine? He lived till he was 105. But this is what happens to people who engage with God. People who spend time in his word, thinking about what he has said to us. Remember how your heart was lifted as we spoke out all that God has done. What was it? It was the word of God. I want to challenge you. I've really been challenged myself. This is where I need to spend more time. The easiest thing for me in the morning is to wake up, see what the weather's doing. You want to know what the day's going to bring you? Get into God's word instead. I will often wake up and start seeing, well, what's happened in the news? I can bury myself in the BBC News app for an hour if I'm not careful. Instead, to have an hour just reading, not deep study, just reading God's word. This is what brings life to God's people. I'll give you a final verse of verses from Psalm 119. Here's someone who declares, "Oh, how I love your law, your word. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies." Do you know those around you may have done greater jobs? They may have traveled more. They may have more knowledge. But being wise is something that comes from reading and soaking up God's word. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. You just soak it up. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Understanding, wisdom, do you know it's another name for Jesus? The wisdom of this world. This is the blessing of Jesus through Easter to you and me today. To have the strength promised, the security and protection to Asher, if we just put our feet on the ground and recognize the place where we stand is holy ground bought by Jesus. If we just spend time in his word, because then we are exposed to Jesus. He is the word of God. And so the blessings of God would pour into his people and then overflow from you to a world that is desperately in need of blessing today. Let me pray that our eyes be opened, that we claim what God has handed us in English, in so many forms, even digitally, in his word. Every single day, we just have to take it. Or you can leave it on the shelf and see how poor it is in the future because we've not enjoyed the blessing of it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you for how he enriches our lives, pours strength and peace and calm and encouragement and confidence and assurance all through your word. Lord, may we deepen our walk with you, deepen our faith by soaking up your word. Next time we're tempted to just read through a novel or watch another television program or whatever entertainment it might be, Lord, remind us there's another option. And it's more than just one of your five a day. It is the richness of Jesus. Father, we want to be people who put our feet on the solid ground of Jesus our Lord this year. So we ask this. Open our eyes to see, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.